podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Dear gas prices, go take a hike. Toyota is the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. The Toyota hybrid lineup brings efficiency with power and savings with style. Not to mention top tech to help keep you connected. Plush premium interiors and the most advanced Toyota safety features. So, now you know who you're talking to. Toyota, the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. With a hybrid or electric vehicle built for every driver. Seriously, dear gas prices, do you really think you could stand in our way? Think again. Toyota hybrids. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Based on manufacturer estimates, CY 2000 through 2021 sales.
Everton are in the mire, massively, massively in the mire. 2-1 defeat at the Premier League's worst club today in Norwich City. A team that hadn't scored since November, and Everton had conceded two against them within the first 18 minutes. Going down to a 2-1 defeat, Richarlison's won the goal in the end, was unfortunately not enough to get Everton a point. And we're in deep shit. We are in deep shit. Everton have gone more than a third of a season now, and they've won one football match in that time. 6 points since September. It is utterly, utterly bleak. Joining me to unpick that, try and unpick that, Dave Downey, Les Roberts and Mark Moseley is going to be joining us shortly as well. Les, I'll come to you first, mate. I mean, I felt the peril today. I think we've spoken about relegation and relegation battles throughout this season and how badly the team's been playing. And I don't think I've ever really quite believed it, but today I felt it. Today, that side looked like a team that could go the rest of the campaign without picking up hardly any points and getting dragged down into the Championship.
Yeah, I mean, today they didn't look even like functioning footballers. I mean, Norwich are clearly by a stretch the worst team in the league, but we made them look really good today, which could suggest we're the worst team in the league by a stretch. It's this sort of relegation thing. It's sort of crept up a bit, hasn't it? We've been sort of flirting with it as the results have gone against us each week. And it's been like, yeah, we could be in trouble here. And then you get a result like that and you think, actually, yeah, we're bang in trouble here. Because Norwich aren't going to do that to too many teams. You look at the last game against Brighton, team that can't score goals for the life of them. They struggle to score. That's the biggest issue. You were 2-0 up in 20 minutes. Norwich, team that can't score goals, haven't scored in the last six. You were 2-0 up inside 18 minutes. You can't keep doing that. You can't keep giving teams the advantage, even if they're as bad as Norwich and Brighton aren't very good either. Even if they're not good Premier League teams, you start giving them 2-0 head start, you're struggling to get back into it. Any team would struggle to get back into it from that. So it's this falling behind early as well. 18 games, that'll be 19, I think, now. You've gone behind this season. It's just not good enough. And on paper, I know it's easy to call the players out to shit houses and they don't look like there's any character there at all. I think there's basically Richarlison carried them to a 2-1 defeat there today. We didn't start playing until he came on. And you can't slag the players, but that group of players should not be a relegation-threatened team. There's players in there. That team should be good enough. If it's set up right, if it's told what to do right, with a decent manager, that team, mid-table, It's got all the attributes there to be a perfectly reasonable mid-table team, which isn't what we want. But fuck me, I'd give me right arm for it at the minute. It's just, I don't even know where to begin with it. It's hard to compare with the scenes because we did that off to a decent start. And then I think, I was thinking about it before, that incident at Old Trafford with Tom Davis and the Yerry Mina disallowed goal, that was like a reverse Kevin Brock moment because everything just turned to shit after that. And I don't know why. It's like we just stopped doing what we were doing well. We weren't playing possession football. We were playing counter-attacking football, but it was getting the job done. I don't know what's changed, but I think at the end of the day, the manager is clearly not good enough. Don't give a shite if he managed Liverpool. Don't care about that. He's just not good enough.
Dave, what about you, mate? How are you feeling after all that? You know, we had a chat in the week about all this and, you know, we focused a lot on the transfers and the direction the football club's headed from that point of view. And we sort of said that we've got a game against Norwich at the weekend that no one's really talking about, maybe assuming that they are so bad that Everton, as poor as they've been, will somehow manage to get a result. It feels like that's been a bit of a slap in the face for a lot of people today. And a lot of us and a lot of Evertonians have seen on social media, they've sort of kept a level head and thought the team would ultimately have enough to get by in this league, are starting to think, my word, this is very, very bad.
I mean, it wasn't unexpected, was it? We said as much the other day when we had the chat, didn't we, the situation that's going on right now. One of the big things we spoke about, if anybody listened to the pods the other day, was Everton in a relegation battle. And we sort of ummed and ahed a little bit and thought, well, no, probably not, given... And I know they're the worst things you can possibly say if you sort of want to put your club in trouble and you immediately say that they're not going to be that team that goes down, that team that shocks everybody and goes down. But I tell you something, we look very much like that team that goes down, and it doesn't look like it would be a shock right now, if we're honest, does it? The way in which we're playing, the way in which we're not getting points, the way in which we're not winning games, the record is abysmal. The way in which they play is abysmal. Now, you can point this in two directions. I'm very much pointing them at both, to be honest, and that is the manager and the players. You choose which field you're
Dave,
in.
Dave, and the owner as well. There's got to be a third there. Well, no, a lot of this is on Farhad Moshiri.
Well, yeah, I think that is... It's something that's permanently lingering there, the Moshiri issue, the board issue. That will permanently be that way until somebody leaves, which would probably be Benitez, won't it, at some point soon. You would think that would be the situation that happens, because even then, Moshiri is as idiotic as he looks right now. Surely gets to a point where he thinks, hang on, I actually own this football club. If it goes down, I'm losing a shitload of money. And that will ultimately be what I would think is the way in which Benitez ends up going, whether that's in maybe in coming days, maybe in coming weeks. I think we're all pretty certain that will happen. The question is, when it does happen, you know, how much of a mire are we going to be in before we bring in another manager who can fix this a bit and just get us to 40 points? And I know I banged on about it all the other day. Everton getting to 40 points, and people just don't seem to assume this as much as I have recently. And I know, well, some people have. I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody else to think this way, but we need 40 points right now. As soon as possible, we've got to get to 40. And then throw this season in the bin and just get to the summer and start trying to sort this mess out across the whole line, like you've said about Moshiri and stuff like that. But when you watch a game like that, the way in which Everton have played, and we're talking about this show we're doing right now is the full-time chat about this. The way I'm talking about this is that you go in sort of two directions, or you think about things, you're much more passionate about one thing than you are about another. And I would guess that most Everton fans right now are overly passionate about wanting the manager to go. But where there's a danger of thinking that is the only issue here, if we get someone else in, it'll sort Everton out. And to a degree, that is something that will probably happen. And I'm talking about probablys here, aren't I? But if we go and get a new manager in, you get that little bounce, don't you? Everybody gets that bounce. Well, most clubs get that bounce when a manager, like Newcastle haven't, under Eddie Howe, thankfully, by the way. That they aren't sort of up near us yet, because they haven't got those wins getting that bounce that we're talking about. And that's what most people will think. And then the other side of things, which has been something that has been lingering for several years, either very much right in front of our faces, or it goes off us a little bit because we start maybe picking up some results, and that is the players and how they decide to conduct themselves as professional footballers. How many times today can you say each player has performed like a professional, how they should do, they fought for the shirt, all of those sort of things that people like to associate with their football clubs? Have they battled hard for us? Have they done everything they possibly could for all of us that pay our hard-earned money to get to a football match? And the answer is no. And today, if you watch that match, I didn't look on that pitch, possibly till Richarlison got on and scored a really good goal, by the way, which is never going to get spoken about ever again, probably given the shit that's going on everywhere else. But none of them looked to me like, firstly, they were fighting for what the managers told them to do. You know, they didn't play the way the manager obviously wanted them to play, which again, many people will say that's fine because they don't want them to play like Benitez because they want him gone. And that's why this is just this massive mixture of shit, isn't it? You know, if you look at the rest of them, how they played, have they been good enough to get a result at the team that's bottom of the league? No, we haven't. I actually thought that going, getting it back to one goal behind them actually flattered us a little bit, I thought. And that's a really sad and pathetic way of looking at things right now. But I thought Norwich thoroughly deserved the victory. And
yeah,
we're talking about the team, bottom of the league. They won two games all season. They hadn't scored for six games. You know, we're looking, when you're preparing for a game like that, you're looking at positives at the others thinking, oh, that's literally the only thing that's worse than us over the last couple of months. We've only won one game. They've won more games than us in the amount of time we've won just one game. Now, what do you turn to now? And that's where I go back to what I've said. You sort of look at things in two sorts of directions. Most people are looking both ways. I'm certainly looking both ways, and that's not a case of me wanting to leave Benitez alone, because I've said in the past, and I've been criticised for it, saying that it's not just his fault, and I will repeat that, it's not just his fault. It is the players as well. But you get to a point now where if the players aren't performing for the manager that's also doing something wrong, then the manager's the first thing that goes. That's the way football works. If we could get rid of some players right now and certain players and individuals in that club, I would never want to see an Everton shirt again. Absolutely. But that's not the way football works. We'd have to sell them. We'd have to make some money. The way in which Luka Dean, that happened, you know, the argument over that. So we're now in a situation that's a complete mess. We're still in January transfer window where there's still time to buy some players. But I tell you what, you buy any players, when El Ghazi finally gets a game, I'm thinking, is there any way, is there any pathway you see him able to make this club any better? Is that possible, given how poor it's been and what the manager decides to choose?
The situation's so bleak, isn't it? That it's, you know, you felt sorry for Mikulenko today, you know, a lad chucked in at left back. And he looked well off it, and it's no surprise. And people are getting on his case already. But as you can see, people on YouTube who are watching, Mark Moses joined us. How are you feeling?
He looked crap, Matt. Just on that point, he looked poor. But we're that bad right now. Can you really blame him for looking poor? I can't. It's not. I'm not saying he's completely innocent, because you know he's still a professional footballer that has to perform. But I wasn't looking at him like, you know, when Nias came or when...
No, but the...
Jack Wallace came. I'm not looking at him saying that he's that bad of a footballer. But there's so much other crap going on around him that I actually felt sorry for him more than I would looking at any other player if they play poor, saying, get off the pitch, mate, you're not doing well enough. Do you know what I mean? That's how sad things are right now.
For me, if you look at Calvert-Lewin, and we know how good he is, he's looked way off at these last two games, and you can understand why, because he's not played football in what, 3.5-4 months, and he's played.
There are times in that game when I looked and I didn't even know he was on the pitch. Like, you would forget he was on the pitch.
Exactly, but you know, a player of that quality who is making no impact on the team at all. You know, it's no surprise that a player like Mikulenko comes in, new to the division, young left back, he's gonna struggle, isn't he? Unless he's a really good player. He might turn into, we don't know, but it is just a mess. And for me, this far into the season, it is squarely on the manager. I mean, I said earlier, I know we call the players shithouses, and we rightly call them that, because they get us into messes like this season after season.
Yeah.
It is worse than any season since, I'm going to say 98. I think it's as bad as the two close calls we had in the 90s.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's going that way, isn't it? Moes, you're not been able to get a word in edgeways, mate. But you've been relatively level-headed after some of these defeats on post-match pods, saying you're not concerned about us going down. I mean, even you must have watched that today and thought, what on earth is going on here?
Oh, God. Everton's worst ever run of form under our worst ever manager against the Premier League's worst ever team, who haven't scored for six games.
And you pissed there? Just laughing. Just laughing.
Oh my God, this is totally untenable. How could you possibly, Dave? You said about whether the Farhad Moshiri makes a decision about the manager in the next 2 days or 2 weeks or whatever it is. It should have taken him 2 seconds. How? Do you know what? I know it's easy to come on these instant match podcasts and, you know, everyone in the boozer after the game in the first couple of hours, you all want impulsive action. And it's not always the right thing to do. But this isn't Everton acting impulsively now if we were to sack Rafael Benitez. This is a seismic lack of form, tactics, any form of ability. And the only reason, as we've said for weeks now, that Rafael Benitez is still there is because he was totally empowered by Farhad Moshiri to run the entire football club. And Farhad Moshiri looks like an idiot if he sacks him after making such a bold decision. And the ghosts of Marcel Brands and all of his staff at Everton will come back to haunt him because there'll be a massive slice of humble pie for Farhad Moshiri to take. And we've seen absolutely nothing from previous managers, previous incidents that have happened at this football club in the last 5 years to suggest that Farhad Moshiri is capable of holding his hands up and saying, I got this totally wrong. It's pathetic even trying to look at that game in isolation as a 90 minutes to think about where Everton lost it. Because most of us 3 or 4 weeks ago probably could have looked at this weekend and said, we're going to struggle there. Because we are totally incapable of putting anything on the pitch together at the moment. And I know it's the easy thing to say that the manager is, yes, not the biggest problem at the club and not the most long-term and not this plague that we talk about in terms of the levels of poor leadership and management that we've had for years now. But he is the reason why we are getting beat every single week or not picking up points or struggling against Hull in the FA Cup. And do you know what? You said it, Dave. You might just get that little kick if you get a manager and then it might go the same way that it is now. But Everton need that kick. We are desperate for points. And to answer
going back to that, Mark, I wanted to ask you about this in particular, just in that point you've made what I said. Do you trust that group of managers that gets that kick that most teams always get when you get a new manager? Because I don't. I don't look at that squad the way in which they've been and reacted. And I know it's purely each individual's opinion on what Benitez has done to this club. Mm-hmm. But I don't look at them thinking, you know, say we went and got a manager. Who's one you get? I don't know. Espirito, maybe. You know, really? That happens because he's there. Who, sorry?
Really? Okay. Yeah,
but at the end of the day, didn't he? Derby and absolutely flying. You know, regardless of who it is, I can't look at anyone without somebody who's there's nowhere near we can get, you know what I mean? Like you're talking ones who manage Champions League, top class, not Carlo Ancelotti. But that type of manager, if we were to go and get them, even then I still look at it with doubt, thinking that this group of players has categorically under every single manager we've had, even Ancelotti, when things started to go pear-shaped, who I could trust to get enough points to keep us in the division. And that's why this problem goes further and further past just the manager. And that's, again, people were looking at this saying to me, oh, you just want to do that to not criticise Benitez. I categorically think Benitez needs to go. He absolutely needs to go right now. But be warned, that is not the only issue.
No, it's not. And all of those sorts of long-term problems and, you know, players seeing off managers that we've said, which is absolutely fair, that's something we'll have a conversation about in June. But right now, you said about, you know, having a doubt about potential managers coming in. And quite frankly, if one more person asked me, well, who do you want? We all know that is not the way that you deal with the current problem. If there's an issue with Rafael Benitez, which there obviously is, then you don't shrug your shoulders and hold your hands up and say, well, not really sure if anyone could do any better. So we'll just persist in digging ourselves deeper into this grave. Quite frankly, we have to act immediately. I mean, as I say, you can talk about the players being a pandemic of terror, which they obviously have been for the last few seasons, but we haven't got the time to sit down and discuss about all of the players that we want to get rid of and all of the players that are obvious problems here. You either change all of the players in the next 2 weeks or you change the manager. And that is quite simply the only option that we have now. And as I say, I look at potential managers coming in, and I'm in total agreement with you, Dave, is that I look at, you know, if you go onto any betting website and look at next Everton manager, it just makes you want to throw your laptop out the window. But we are at the stage of desperation now whereby relegation is a real possibility. And that'll send shivers down Matt's spine, because he's always the one who comes out of games and says, we are in real trouble here. And I try to settle him on the basis that we've got one player who could possibly drag us out of this. And I know that the names are there in black and white on the squad list, but you couldn't really identify anyone at the moment who was capable of being the Kevin Campbell figure that we've disastrously decided that we need now to drag us into safety. And it's incredible that it's got to this stage, but we all know that the one action that has to take place. But I go back to the fact that Farhad Moshiri has made this almost an impossible sacking because of the level of misguided trust that he's put in him. And it's totally, this decision in the next few days or weeks or whatever it is now is a battle of how desperate does Farhad Moshiri think he is versus how naive and stubborn he is. And this stubborn culture is unfortunately one that both Benitez and Moshiri share. But if you are stubborn in football to the point where you refuse to change things for weeks and weeks and weeks, you'll suddenly find yourself with four games, neither 9 points to get yourself above Watford in the league to stay up. And whatever you think Everton should be, and only the best being good enough, we are quite simply scrapping for our lives right now.
Yeah, it's reached that point, hasn't it, Les, where it's, you know, it sort of feels like you could get rid of the manager and not appoint a manager for the next few weeks and they'd probably still be better off. If you just said to the players, turn up at Finch Farm, lads, and do your own sessions, it's becoming that toxic, isn't it? You know, we had a fan try and run on the pitch today at Carrow. We've already had fans run on the pitch already this season. Fans chanting for this fella to get out, fans chanting fat Spanish waiter. It's not the only problem Everton have got, obviously. No, there are many, many other things, but it's the easiest one now and the one that can have the biggest short-term impact. And that's the position we're in right now. We need the short-term impact, like Mo said, whether it be a 2 or 3 game bounce and we, you know, we go down the Allardyce sort of manager-style route again. And, you know, you bow your head all you want, mate, but, you know, I was saying to Dave before we started off there that today felt like that 4-1 game against Southampton back in 2017. And after that, we were all saying at that point, we need the manager now who, you know, whatever you think about the team, whatever you think about the way it's going, we need the manager that's going to steady this and it's going to keep us in the league. And we got Allardyce. It wasn't the right decision, obviously, in the end. He went off on his ways, but my word, we kept him. He kept us in the league.
It's, for me, obviously Benitez isn't the only problem with the club, but it's like your kitchen being on fire and you're worried about the living room getting burnt. You just put the fire out in the kitchen, sort that out, and then worry about the rest later on. There's going to be smoke damage, don't worry about it. So this is the immediate thing we need to sort, the manager. He's clearly not good enough. He just isn't. How many formations has he played this season? The team. Yeah. No, I don't subscribe to a team needing an identity as such or sticking to a rigid formation or style of play. But he has tried absolutely every formation in the book and they've all been shit. He went 4-4-2 today, which I was quite on board with. I thought maybe, I gave Rondon weirdly the benefit of that and thought, okay, maybe he will like free up some space or take one of the central defenders out to give Calvert-Lewin a bit more joy. And he's useless. He's beyond useless as well. He's definitely not a functioning footballer. He didn't do a thing again. And at times it looked like he was number 10.
He's playing number 10.
And it's like, what is this? You know, this is a manager who hasn't got a clue. And it's quite sad to see, because the whole time he was in English football, Newcastle fans loved him for some reason, even though they are the absolute purveyors of wonderful, beautiful football, and he played some of the most turgid shite ever up there. But I think they loved him because he hated Mike Ashley and they had that in common. But that aside, The time he was at Liverpool, he was a better manager than David Moyes. He just was. And he was a good manager at this point. And he has just dropped off a cliff so bad. People are calling him a football dinosaur. He is. He's out of his depth in this league now. What he had has gone. It's had its day. And that's the issue that needs sorting out. I honestly think if you can get a manager in there who knows what he's doing, you can get something out of that team. There are enough decent players in that team to get us out of this, but it needs the right manager, and he is not it. And you said earlier on in the season, Matt, I mean, when he was appointed, it was like, if this goes tits up, it will really go tits up quickly. And it has. It's proven to be like that. It was pretty obvious it was going to. It needs a different manager in that. That's the only thing I can see that rectifies this. Else, we're in trouble now, but we are in big, big trouble because we've got harder games coming up now. Yeah.
Where I accept that, completely accept it, completely agree with you, we need a new manager. Yes, we need Benitez to go, absolutely. But is this a scenario where you look at this and think, well, the only manager we could get, or the only manager you would want in right now is somebody who just takes us to the summer? Because I think we're in danger of entering the usual crap we've done when we've hired new managers, and that is giving, say, a long-term, even a 2 or 3 year deal to a manager that keeps us up for the rest of the season. Because then what I'm worried about, Les, is, yes, fine, get that manager in, get him to get these players to do something for us so we get a relative mid-table finish, because I'd be absolutely taking that right now if you offered it. If you give me 40 now, I'd take it right now, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But then I'm thinking, well, you get somebody in who's like, you know, what they used to say about Big Sam, ironically, wasn't it? It was the fireman. Do you know what I mean? He comes in, puts everyone's resting around, and then he leaves again. That's the type of thing, and I'm not saying him again, by the way, but that's the type of thing I think we need. But then I'm starting to think, well, could you get a manager in who does that job, gets Everton safe till the summer, and then you keep him in for the summer and start trying to fix it again from ground zero? I don't think that manager's out there. So what I'm thinking is, you get someone in right now who does the job to keep us up, and then that's it. You say, listen, mate, nice one, goodbye. And then start again as soon as the season finishes and says, right, this is it now. Mm-hmm. Complete clean slate. Get rid of the sacks of shit that we've got and try. Obviously, that's going to be difficult to get rid of everybody, because that's what we've been trying to do for years, is get rid of the deadwood. We talk about it all the time. But I don't think there's a manager I look at that would come in. Firstly, would come in, keep us up, and then stay at Everton, where you think, yeah, this lad's got a future for us as the manager. I don't think that man exists.
No one's coming in for 6 months. I mean, it shows how stupid Mashiri is and how much of a shyster Sam Allardyce is that he got an
18. But he'd see that was a success, Les. He will see that what Allardyce did is still a success.
He got an 18-month deal when everyone knew he was there for six.
Yeah.
You know, he totally wedged Farhad Moshiri there and he just accepted it. Manager who's going to come in and say, go ahead, yeah, I'll do that for 6 months, because they're on a hiding to nothing. If they keep us up, they'll get fucked off anyway. Yeah. And if they go down, well, it's like they've absolutely failed and they've got the whole, like, ignominy, whatever, of being the manager who took Everton down effectively.
Do you know what I love, Les? Do you know what I absolutely love? I was just sitting there then, as I was talking to you, you got the biggest Big Sam glass of wine out and just started drinking.
It's gravy, this, mate. It's a glass of gravy.
Looks bigger than your head.
You're on beer at the start of this podcast.
Oh, no, I've stacked it up.
Making you mix your drink. For it.
Yeah. The only person I can think would accept that is Duncan Ferguson, because he's at the club, and I think if the club said to him, give us 6 months, get us out of this shit, I reckon he'd take it. But it's a bit Alan Shearer at this point, that.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Les, were you doing dry January before this game today?
I was doing so well. Yeah, half time, I got straight on it.
Do you know what I would say about sacking Rafael Benitez and obviously being relatively impulsive, if you want to call it that, is that it's no longer solely because of the actual football that he needs to go. I think it's more of the, you know, all the things that we semi-jest about in terms of fans running on the pitch and everyone hating the football club, etc., etc. It can't continue like this. It's vile being an Everton fan at the moment, because you're honestly watching that game at 2-0 today, and I bet you, you all had that thought of, do you know what, it would be quite helpful here if we got battered 4-0, because the decision is absolutely taken out of everyone's hands then. And it's sad, because, do you know what, we all eternally love this club, and it will forever be our failure, but it's so difficult to engage with something that you love when you've got someone like this. God, I sounded a bit Luca Dean then. But
he's flying, by the way. He's just started right now against Man United. Oh,
they should get a bye next week. But there's absolutely no way to continue with this level of hostility and this level of anger. I mean, there's a million and one scenarios next Saturday that I can think of that will make every single person in Goodison Park's head fall off, and all of them involve Rafael Benitez. And do you know what? This is what we said at the start, is that, yes, there's no footballing pedigree to this man, and yes, there's no on-field evidence that this is going to work. But there's so much narrative about him. And yes, we know the obvious. And I think we all collectively agree that isn't the one overriding reason why we didn't want him here. But as soon as it started going badly, which I don't know if you've noticed, but it really has now, it was always going to be at this point where every single person just hated the club, hated each other. God knows what that atmosphere was like in the away end at 90 minutes today. And it simply can't continue like this. And I think as much as we talk about the players needing a bounce and needing that regeneration and that refreshment that a new manager brings, I think we all need it as well. I think we're all collectively ready to actually start engaging and enjoying this football team. And don't get me wrong, it's not going to happen when we're playing poor football and we're not getting results. But I do get the feeling that those two things go hand in hand. And I just can't see a way in which, be it the relationships of the fans or, you know, from a fan enjoyment perspective, that can't improve with Benitez here. I would probably look at everything I've seen on the pitch since he's been here and say that's evidently not going to improve, because you can throw the injuries and suspensions excuses at me all day long. But regardless of the team that you put out against Norwich City today, and let's remember that that's probably the best squad that we've been able to field in recent weeks, you absolutely can't come away from that without serious repercussion. And there is only one inevitable consequence that needs to be made, and it needs to be made by, unfortunately, the most inept man at the football club.
Do you feel like it is inevitable?
Him getting sacked?
I don't think he's going to get sacked. I think he'll be in charge against Villa next week.
Yeah, I couldn't say to you now. And you know what? Any other football team in the country, that happens immediately, doesn't it? By the end of the half five game on Saturday night, you get a little flash up banner in the corner on Sky Sports to say that Rafael Benitez is gone. It's obvious, it's correct, and everyone moves on, and the recruitment policy starts again. And yes, we've all been down this horrible thing, and, you know, do we get someone for 6 months? Do we get them for 6 years? Whatever it is. But as you rightly said, there's absolutely no confidence in Everton making any form of correct or even if it was a tad dangerous in terms of, you know, going into the end of the transfer window with absolutely no manager. And we are not capable of taking a risk that could potentially benefit us, but could potentially go totally the other way. I mean, I don't really think any of us would say now that it could get any worse than this. But no, to answer your question, Matt, he will not impulsively be sacked tonight. He'll more than likely be there next week. And Goodison Park will just be an absolute pit of despair. But I just can't see how far Fahad Moshiri can look at this. I get he's not an Evertonian, but you can't look at this, be it from an emotive point of view, a statistical point of view, a footballing point of view. None of this is working, and surely even he can see that.
Yeah, and just before your say on this, let's just seen TalkSport there put a statement out saying that Benitez could be sacked tonight, and given that we all know how far Amashiri likes to use them as his mouthpiece, I'd put some weight in that. But if he does, you know, it wouldn't be cause for celebration unless for me if he did get sacked, because you've got a situation there where we've sold one of our best players who he fell out with
literally days ago, who's gone out the door. We've given him money to spend on players to come in, and all of a sudden he's been binned. It's just it's a necessary thing to do, but it feels like it also just completely sum up the inherent issues that are going on at the football club at the moment as well.
Yeah, there's just not one part of the football club that seems to be functioning on an even passable level as it should be. Yeah, it's like the narrative this season has been a little bit, well, you can't keep sacking managers, but the sort of counterpoint to that is we'll just stop employing shit ones, because we have done that. You know, I think since David Moyes left, we have not made one appointment that's been correct. I mean, I've said
well, you've always said it, mate, haven't you? We've got three
good managers in 50 years. But it's just, and yeah, you know, as Mark said, you know, if we do sack him tonight, do we trust anyone to make the right decision on the next manager? It is a massive gamble, but I think he's had enough time now, which is a really weird thing to say considering it's January and his first season, but he has had enough time. It's like when Mike Walker got binned off, he drew against Norwich, I think, maybe, and beat West Ham. And he said he was convinced he'd turn the corner. He hadn't. He was shit. And it took Joe Royal to come in and take that squad of players, which wasn't a particularly bad squad of players, as it turned out, as they showed. And he turned it round. It's all about making the right appointments. Now, it's whether anyone, as Dave said, wants to come to us, be it for 6 months or, as Mark said, 6 years, whatever. Does anyone want to do that? Is anyone going to put their reputation on the line? And, you know, come to us in a real shit show and try and turn it around for 6 months or long term. Personally, I think we need to kind of look at long term. And factoring in that going down to the Championship as well, by the way, I think we need to look at long term and factor that in. The fact that, can you get a manager who, if you do go down to the Championship, will bring you back up? I mean, Benitez has got that, hasn't he, Newcastle? But yeah, I think that's the business.
Don't you dare.
We either want something.
Maybe keep a bit. He says is a long term plan. Then with that in mind,
you've got one fuck. You've won fuck all for 27 years, lads. I've just given you the Championship title. What more do you want? Maybe that's the big plan. I don't know. I don't know. All roads now to me. I don't believe I'm saying this. Do point to Wayne Rooney. Okay.
Oh God! Oh,
come on,
honestly,
Led.
Honestly, I'm telling
come
you.
Come on.
Why not?
In terms of attracting managers, well,
there are plenty of reasons why not.
Okay.
I know you're talking about the desperate situation we're in that means that you're potentially going to get him as the manager. I know that's the sort of line you're talking about, but who would you go and get now? And you're talking about Rooney. If you wanted to go down a Wayne Rooney sort of path, that is disaster. We might as well all, you know,
just quickly hear me out.
Player manager.
Either he comes in and does a really good job, or we make him go bald again.
I'd have him as manager if he goes down.
What about Graham Sharp? You know, get him. But has there ever been a board member / manager?
Knows the club.
Where's the club?
Niall Quinn did it at Sunderland, didn't he? When he first
he bought
the club.
He did, and
then didn't get a manager in, and he managed them for, like, I don't know, the first half of the season. Did really well, and he was like, "Yeah, thanks a lot, and I really enjoyed this for a while." But then went and got, I don't know, it was Ricky Sprazier or
what's he up to?
I don't know what he did. He kept them up, didn't he?
Did he? Yeah, I don't know if he did. Did he?
Machini's got to do that thing the Brentford chairman did, isn't he?
What's that?
And just go into management. He did all right, actually. I think Palace chairman, and he became Palace manager, and then he went to Brentford and he got them promoted. So he actually did okay.
Oh, I mean, he's signing players. So.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I've forgotten his name.
Sam Allardyce, was it?
I'll look it up now.
Well, yeah, if you go on, I don't know if enough people are listening and watching us, can they let us know on the list there and let us know what bookies are saying who is the favourite for the next Everton manager? Because I can tell you who I put in as the favourite for the next one.
It was Ron Nodes.
Who?
Ron Nodes. He was manager. He was chairman of Palace and Wimbledon, and then he went to Brentford. And he was the manager of Brentford from 98 to 2000 and led the club to the third division.
This just sounds like some pro Evo name.
This sounds like someone you've made up, Les.
Honestly,
from the
someone you've just pulled out that bottle of wine.
We've had a lot of suggestions in the comments from Rooney and Dunk. We've had some suggestions for Ted Lasso.
That's all Steve Beast as well.
I'm convinced it will be Dunk. Or at least some stage this season, he will be the Everton manager.
Someone said Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
Lampard or Potter. No chance Everton to get a Graham Potter in a million years.
Yeah, but Potter's the one I think most people want.
But he's not coming here. No,
I don't get the fuss about Potter.
He's not coming here anyway.
He's got a long-term plan, but his win ratio is shite.
Better than ours at the moment.
It is. But, you know, it's not difficult, is it?
Yeah, but the thing is, when people talk about Potter, I can get why they might say that, given the style he likes to play, and like there's a lot of fuss around him, isn't there, in the media with what he's done there at Brighton.
Yeah,
but you know the idea of him coming to Everton before all this crap with Benitez was, he'll have a better team of players to do better than what he's done at Brighton in the Premier League, and that is not true. That I don't think Everton's squad is that much better if they are. Than Brighton right now.
Yeah.
I know we don't turn and say, yeah, it is. Come on, Dave, you're being silly. We've got a better squad than Brighton. I don't think it's as good as you would think if you compared Everton to Brighton right now.
I think it takes the right manager. As I said about the Joe Royal comparison, that squad was dead under Mike Walker. It was absolutely appalling. And Joe Royal took the same group of players. Won the FA Cup, kept us up comfortably, got us into next season with a couple of additions. It wasn't a bad side, it just had a bad manager. Sans Mike Walker, to be fair, but he was just a bad manager.
I got ripped apart the other week for saying Thomas Frank, who's done a fantastic job at Bedford. Yeah. He's been brilliant. He was very unlucky to not get them up in the first playoffs the season before last, but then he come up in the playoffs last season.
He's not coming to this Everton situation.
I don't know. I couldn't answer that because I don't think we're ever going to see that eventuality come to pass. Would he take the Everton job? I think he'd take the Everton job. Yeah.
You also need to remember what Everton pay people. I know that you can look at the league table and say, well, he's not coming here and he's not coming here. We're stupid enough to pay someone like Graham Potter 7 million quid a year to come and manage Everton. And I'm not saying that is going to happen, but I think you'd be shocked at the pull and power and the appeal that this club probably has by naive people who think that we're good enough and safe enough to stay up.
Here's the list. Right, okay. Odds checker.
I am actually scared.
Give me a suggestion who you would think would be the number one. The shortest odds on
Bill Kenwright.
Duncan.
Kenwright.
It'd be Duncan or Nuno.
David Howard.
Duncan is fifth on the list. Nuno is fourth on the list. You will never guess the top one.
Rooney.
Allardyce.
Rooney's second, Lampard's third.
Oof.
So at 3-1.
If Rooney's second and Lampard's third, then it must be Scholes. Who else was in that team?
Ted Lasso.
No, I mean, well, yeah. The I've got a list of seven here. The one who's top, 3-1. You wouldn't guess. If you were on
Neil Warnock,
Malky Mackay,
Gary Megson.
Gary Megson. Wow, former Blue. Eh?
Tony Mowbray.
No, the current Denmark international manager.
Okay, yeah, he has been linked in the past.
Kasper Hjulmand, he is 3-1, and he's the shortest price to get the Everton job.
I've never seen him manage or coach a footballer, but we absolutely need him, and we need to make our move right now.
Has the lad got eyes? Get him in.
Oh God!
He looks boss in Hummel. Get him in.
Mark Hughes.
You know what? That is something. Farhad Moshiri will actually think that that's a part of what needs to be involved is the fact that he wears Hummel. Honestly, that's how bad that fella is. I reckon he's just been toxic, that fella. And I never thought I'd say it about a billionaire who took over our football club just turned into Everton himself.
Yeah. I said this the other day, Dave, is that if I stand by it, if Bramley Moore wasn't a thing, he's the only person we'd be talking about at the moment.
Yeah. Do you remember that film, Bedazzled?
Where's this going?
Early on it. Do you remember that film?
Was Tony Mowbray in it?
You basically, he gets, Brendan Foster just gets like, is it Brendan Fraser? Brendan Foster's a Olympic
swimmer, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or runner, wasn't he? He's a runner, wasn't he?
Wasn't Brendan Foster in that?
Whoever it is, Brendan anyway, gets three wishes from the devil. Yeah, he gets three wishes from the devil, doesn't he? And I'm just thinking that like Farhad Mashiri is literally that version of like it was a really attractive looking Liz Hurley who plays the devil on it, but he feels like the devil to me, that fella. That he's come in and we all think, oh, this is sound. Now we've got a fella who's a billionaire. Yes, he's put a load of money in for a load of crap players, but this is the guy that's going to get us to the promised land. And if you look at how we've been since he's been here, it's just been a complete disaster.
So far, I'm assuming he's Liz Hurley.
Ben Foster, right.
That's where you arrived at that conclusion.
Liz Hurley's probably older than him because she's like quite old now. I think she's in like her late 50s, but she looks about 25.
So Ben Foster got bedazzled by Liz Hurley. Farhad Mashiri has been bedazzled by Bill Kenwright. Christ,
That's exactly it.
Do you know what? On these podcasts where we get levered and are in, feel like we're in deep peril, it does just get a little bit ridiculous, doesn't it? Let's see. Let's see what happens over the next.
Daniel Farke, take him.
I think that's a good place to end the podcast, I'd say.
Rude Van Nistelrooy, 20-1.
Rude Van Nistelrooy, 20-1 to be the next Everton manager.
Hang on. John Terry.
Where's Danny Cadamarty on the list? He's always around the 100-1 mark.
Roy Keane, 50-1.
Where's Canu?
Oh my God.
Why not? Just other footballers.
Right. Well, this podcast is
Christopher Ray.
Descending into farce, much like Everton's performance today. It's not funny, really. Just got to try and do a bit of gallows humour, but my word, it is. It's the only thing you can do at the moment because this team is in a bad, bad way. Cheers to Dave, Les, and Mark for joining us. Cheers to everyone who watched on YouTube and got your comments in and suggestions for the next manager, Steve Bruce in particular. El Jacko is just putting the comments. What's going on here? I have no idea, mate. about so many things. About so many things, to be honest. But we will wrap it up there. We had one more comment live of it. So let's be honest here. There are two top jobs set to become vacant. Both involve the colour blue. Get Liz Hurley as the forward. Why not? Get her in. get her in. Well, how could she do any worse? But yeah.
By the way, guys, just before we finish, did anyone watch it? I've been obsessing over this. Did anyone watch the darts, obviously, around New Year? And there's that thing going around Twitter, that meme of Ted Hankey, the darts players. Everyone's seen it?
Yeah.
Where he goes, am I in charge or is the devil in charge? It's like he was Everton.
Can he play right back?
Probably. Well, we've got a right back now. We just don't play him. Probably.
Yeah, Ben Godfrey is playing there today. Who knows? Yeah. Let's leave it there. We'll be back in the week, of course, with all usual stuff, building up to that game against Villa, and potentially talking about another manager getting the boot as well.
Up the Sky Bet Championship.
Yeah, bring on Dwight Gayle.
Four extra games a season. What's not to like?
Rather away.
Yeah, absolutely. Even Les, who's always said going down is not a bad thing, is starting to get converted. Right. I've tried to end this podcast so many times now, but right, that's it. That's your instant match reaction for Norwich 2, Everton 1. Enjoy what you can of your weekend. And fingers crossed this all turns around soon. We'll speak to you soon.
Progressive presents Married to Your Home.
I'm such a screw up.
What? House? Why would you talk like that?
How are you even with a house without a walk-in closet?
Stop. You have more than enough storage.
Oh, yeah. And the unfinished basement. Gross.
We'll finish it eventually. Together.
No matter how much you already love your house, you'll love it more knowing you could save big bundling your home and auto with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Sports Social Podcast Network.